Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
I am so excited to hear you guys. Right up until this point, I have just been chill. What we call woosah here in Delaware.
Woosah.
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 But then today, you guys fired me up about this damn trash talking and him being number one, you know, overrated player. Are you freaking serious? So let's unleash the beast. And yeah, Josh, you do your trash talking, man, because you can back it up. Let's get him, Josh. Kick their
ass. Shout out Gina in Delaware. Always part of Football Friday. Happy Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe with you. It is brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. What should we talk about first? Remember some Arizona Cardinals or the Xavier Worthy reset? Let's do the Worthy thing. Okay. So, hey, Bills fans, how did it hit you when you saw Xavier Worthy take his first touch untouched into the end zone? And
moving in a million.
Can we play the highlight again? Josh has got the highlight. Maybe you're watching, you're listening, maybe you weren't watching, maybe the volume's down, you're dealing with whatever, kids, who knows what. The highlight itself is funny just because of the sheer giddiness on the broadcast as Xavier Worthy takes that end around or whatever, the 21-yard rushing touchdown.
Adams, that gets you the 15. It wasn't inside the opening. This is the speedy man, Xavier Worthy, the fastest man to the end zone right away. His first touch, a Kansas City touchdown. Oh, man.
We needed our auto racing guys here to call this one. Watch him take this turn, 4.21 seconds. No more worries about whether or not Kansas City has any speed. Beep, beep, here he comes.
This is the speedy man.
The speedy man. The fastest man.
He hasn't even crossed the line of scrimmage yet. He touches the ball. This is the speedy man.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's so funny.
Wow.
The speedy man, the fastest man, and there's Worthy into the end zone. Hey, listen, just saying, maybe he's Steve Bernier. Right?
Oh,
first game, hey, look at this guy. What's he going to be? And then nothing ever again. Maybe he's Steve Big Bear Bernier.
Yeah.
And I bet you didn't think you were going to hear from him.
I did not
on this,
expect a Steve Bernier appearance on the show today.
So Worthy gets the rushing touchdown. He also gets a blown coverage and a passing touchdown.
Yep. That was pretty much it for him. He made like one other decent catch. He had one target in the end zone where...
Yep, where he did not really
got
challenge for the ball.
It. Yeah, it didn't really go up.
He's not likely to be a contested catch guy.
He also, that route... I'm sure he's expecting that to be put like out in front of him, mm-hmm. right? Like to kind of run under it, and Mahomes put it like up in the air like he was a tight end. So,
yeah,
wasn't very catchable in the first place.
More of a, hopefully, more of a Keon Coleman kind of catch on that one.
Right, Coleman, no doubt, I think, has a better shot at catching that football.
At that one.
I don't know that he does. It was a low percentage chance, but he would have had a better shot at it.
Eager to see what the Bills have in store for Coleman Sunday and how much they have in store for him. Like, Worthy, what? He had a couple plays kind of designed for him.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, that rushing touchdown, that is a, hey, let's see what we can do with this play.
Right.
And they call it. It's clearly something they would have planned to do, and they hit it on their second touchdown drive, and that's that. I wonder if the Bills have any design plays for Coleman and what they might look like. You know, how many snaps is he going to get? As we talked about it with Sal earlier in the show about an hour ago, if the Bills are going to continue this move towards 12 personnel, then that means there's only two receivers on the field.
Right. Right.
So who are the two? Is Coleman getting on the field a lot? Isn't am I ready to say Mac Hollins is going to lead them in snaps? Hollins is going to be out there a lot, we think, on the boundary. And then I've got Shakir or Coleman. If I'm going two tight ends, I'm going two receivers.
Did you mention Samuel?
I didn't mention Samuel.
I mean, Samuel's going to play, right? Samuel's
right.
going to have what was mentioned when he got hurt in training camp and in the preseason.
Who replaces him?
They don't really have a replacement for it. There are plays he does. They've been talking about using him in every way imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing. He's out there. Maybe he's in the backfield more, and that opens up spots for receivers to play receiver.
Then there's MBS, who also will probably play it on some level.
See, that's the one where I draw the line. I don't think he's on the field.
Let me tell
much.
You why not to draw the line. And again, like just small thing here. But if I can make a comparison, we talked with Sal about the safeties. Damar Hamlin's starting.
Yeah.
The other guys are ready-ish, right? They're healthy. They're practicing in full.
Yeah.
And what did Sal say? Trust. It's about trust.
Uh-huh.
McDermott trusting Hamlin to know the defense as the other guys are trying to come along a little bit. McDermott has a reputation / perception that he doesn't play rookies. Are we about to see Keon Coleman sit behind MVS for a couple of weeks? I mean, think about Kincaid's first 5-6 games. He did not get a lot of targets. He was a star of training camp. Kincaid was every single day at camp. This guy can play. He's a big part of their offense.
Yep.
And then 5 weeks into the season, they were throwing him 2-yard passes. So, I mean, I don't know about expecting too much from Keon Coleman early because, one, it's a bit of a crowded house at receiver, given if they're going to play a lot of 12. And two, trust. Are they going to trust him right away? Or will it be, you know, a pared down, hey, here's your package of plays.
Well, that's where I wonder, like, again, like what's the package of plays? Are we throwing him screens?
Maybe.
Are we throwing him fades in the end zone?
I'll tell you what I guarantee they throw him is the Keon Coleman. He's going to run the gauntlet route. They're going to call the gauntlet route for him.
They're going to run him over the middle of the field.
Yes, the gauntlet route is what. Think about his highlight reel catch, the big one-handed jump. He's moving across the middle of the field at Florida State. The gauntlet drill is what he ran really well. And at training camp, he consistently caught that all the way across the field as Allen waits on that, a little deeper drop. They tried to call it the deep dig. They tried to call that play for him in the Pittsburgh game in the preseason on the play that Trubisky got hurt. Like, to me, the Coleman play is that one. Get up, clear out, and you run across the field, and someone's going to find you. That's his that's until further notice, I think, like for me, that's his route.
I just wonder how often that's going to happen.
It could happen depending on the matchup.
If I'm the defense, all I'm doing is just man coveraging him, and I'm never letting him get that play. That's
it. It depends. I mean, he got open, and he got...
It's also him running to a spot where a lot of the other Bills run to a lot, right? Like, and on those package plays, you can have the guys run to different areas, but... That's kind of what I expect from them, though. I expect them to be a middle-of-the-field team.
Oh, yeah.
Coleman is going to, those routes that you just mentioned, those are going to run over the middle. Shakir is over the middle. Kincaid is over the middle. Knox is over the middle. Samuel does a lot over the middle. It's a lot over the middle. They better be good at it. That's what a lot of their guys do well. So that's kind of where, like, I want to see, maybe it's wrong to expect it, though, like, whether it's the snap count or what the plays look like, I want to see Coleman be able to do some damage on the outside. because I think that's where they're starving for somebody to kind of show up and be able to do it. I have no questions about what they can achieve over the middle. I think they have a plethora of guys to do that. But who is going to win outside for me? I would love to just see even a couple examples of Coleman being able to do that. Even if it's in contested situations, just make a couple of plays for me out there. Because if he's not, then right, Holland's going to be out there, and MVS is going to be out there, and I would like the Bills to not have to rely on those two to be those guys for them.
You said red zone targets,
red zone targets like fade routes and
maybe
whatnot.
Fades. I mean, he ran slants in the preseason.
Yep,
and he got a little bit of contact in there, and there's one where he short armed a little bit that he probably wants back. But I would again like. I don't think his snap count will be crazy high, but I do think they did it in the preseason, and I think Joe Brady... Listen, I'm not being snarky when I say this, that everybody eats and forcing the ball.
Yeah.
Forcing the ball is, to me, right now, the most overrated term. They throw the ball to guys that they think can make plays, and if a guy can make a lot of plays, they throw it to him a lot. I bet they force the ball to Keon Coleman at least once or twice in this game. And by that, I don't mean force it. I mean...
Design a play for him.
Yeah, they will want to get him involved in this game. They wanted him to get the ball in the preseason game. They were working hard to do it, whether it's for his confidence or whatever. And I think in this game, we will see a red zone target for him. In this game, he will get an opportunity to get his hands on a ball in the end zone because, you know, everybody wants to feel good for the new guys. Everyone wants... contributions. When they say everybody eats, that in itself means you're planning to force it everywhere, not just to one guy. It's not organic. It's that everybody's going to get the ball. All right. Then you're going to have your plays lined up for Coleman. Your plays lined up for Shakir, Kincaid. Curtis Samuel's going to get, what, two carries in this game? Sweeps? That kind of stuff?
I wonder if Coleman will get a play like that. Or two, or three, whether it's a screen or whether it is a jet sweep like we saw for Worthy last night. I've said it repeatedly, so don't get the two mixed up. I question severely that he's actually a fast player, that's going to be maybe even a problem for him. But he makes people miss. It's why he was a punt returner. It's why when you watch his highlight reel, there are plays out there where like he can cut. He can make a guy miss in space. He can't always outrun them to the end zone, but he'll make a guy miss. And if he has that skill set, then isn't he a guy where punt returner at Florida State, a screen here and there, a jet sweep for him? I think there's only going to be so much opportunity for him to do that because Samuel is going to be the one that does most of it. But what did we talk about during the offseason with that Tom Brady comment? Tom Brady went on Colin Cowherd and talked about more so for your top receiver, but getting them involved in the game earlier, build their confidence, make sure they're involved and engaged in the game. And maybe you want that for a lot of your guys. I think you would want that for Coleman. So if it's a screen in that way, if it's a jet sweep in that way, if it's one of those routes across the middle like you're talking about, like I think they'll design a few of them. I would not be surprised, though, to see them be plays that would be right around the line of scrimmage.
803-0550. Quick mention... via Twitter, I think this is a good point here, about 12 personnel and something we could think about. Kyle writes in, is it still 12 if a tight end's in the backfield? Say Knox is in the backfield, Kincaid's in line, we can have three receivers. That's a good question. Let me spin that a little bit. They probably have a personnel package where we will eventually find out what it's called that is three receivers and two tight ends, and Curtis Samuel is in the backfield. Right? Yeah. Think about that. How do we keep the receivers on the field? How do we make sure Shakir and Samuel and Coleman are on the field while we have our two tight end sets that we like? Right. And the answer is, well, Curtis Samuel, because he took some snaps in the backfield. He lined up in the backfield during training camp. And I mean, they did that. Yeah. They put Diggs in the backfield last year at times.
They put Diggs in the backfield.
And now they've got a guy in Samuel that they like for that. So what will they call that? You know, that's two tight ends, no running backs, three receivers. They'll have a name for it. 803-0550. I bet we see some of that. We'll remember some Cardinals in a moment. Get to Sean in Buffalo. Hey, Sean. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good.
I just had a question. If you think Brandon Bean or someone in the front office should get some more blame for maybe trading away like generational type players, like in 2017, Mahomes pick, Justin Jefferson in 2020, and then potentially the next Tyreek 2.0. That's a little bit of exaggeration in 2023 with
yeah.
But yeah, I was just wondering. And the only people still on the team from those trades is Deion Dawkins and then rookies this year, like Keon Coleman, Dwayne Carr.
Thanks, Sean. I have the only criticism I'd make about the Mahomes trade is not taking a quarterback that year, but the Bills would say they were not ready for it.
And that's always my criticism. Yeah, and, being close to the idea of drafting.
Yeah, you should always be open to taking a quarterback. But I'm not upset they didn't know Mahomes was going to be great. Nobody really did. It's a crapshoot. The Jefferson trade, I think, is not at all worth criticizing. They didn't trade away Justin Jefferson. They traded away their first-round pick. And then that pick became Justin Jefferson as six other teams passed on – passed on – wait, I'm sorry. 20 teams passed on him? No. That was not anything that I would criticize the Bills for at all. That was a great trade for them. And the Worthy trade, my biggest criticism, isn't that they didn't take Worthy. It's that they aided the Chiefs. And I would never do that. So, it's definitely not like a – he's not Tyreek 2.0 yet. That is a long way to go. So, you're right to say like that's a little bit of an exaggeration. But
what if he does become Tyreek 2.0? Then, what if he's one of the best in football?
One of the best weapons in football?
Well, weapons, receiver. Receiver. I think I saw breakdowns of him yesterday again, like before the game, like – this guy was a more complete receiver at Texas than you remember. If he's Hill, not just a gadget guy, but he is an all-around great wide receiver. It's going to be tough to take if that's the case. I don't predict that. I don't think he'll be Tyreek Hill 2.0. I said earlier, like I kind of like Lockett as a comparison for him. I think he's someone that's going to be more entrusted to be a separator and a route runner, and he's going to be moved into the slot. I think that's actually going to end up being what he's more of. And if that's what he is, like to me, that's a good player. That's a very good player. But I don't know that that's something that we're, hyperbolic about every single day.
Here's a number for you. So, again, it's not the only move the Chiefs made. But last year, they put the stat up on the screen. Last year, Patrick Mahomes on passes of 15 yards or more had a terrible year. 2 touchdowns, 7 picks.
Yeah.
Completion percentage was like 40. Yep. They did nothing. They had no downfield passing game. And what the Chiefs aimed to do was to get back to their Tyreek Hill era offenses where they could hit down the field big. And last night he was 100% on 15-yard passes or more. And they had a touchdown that was the worthy blown coverage.
3 of 3 for 83 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, so it's one game.
Yeah.
But what... it's almost like, what's the thing you hope to see from the Bills on Sunday? And you get that? I'm not saying that might be it, but that's what the Chiefs have today. The Chiefs have, what's the one thing we want to see from this team? How about the return of the downfield passing game? Did it. It's one game, but it's a sign that, maybe they got it right. They also did it without Hollywood Brown.
They did do it without Hollywood Brown.
And Hollywood Brown is another fast receiver. That's an offense that last night looked like it had lots of speed, and they're still going to add some.
The reason I instinctually say, give me that, for, downfield passing, or any form of it, I think that these two offenses had the same problem last year. They couldn't generate explosive plays. They had the same problem. So if the Bills can come out, I don't even care how it happens. I mean, it was rushes, it was yak plays, it was downfield passes with big air yards. It doesn't matter. Go look at what the Bills did last year. There were long stretches of the season where Zach Wilson offenses were generating more explosive plays than they were. Daniel Jones offenses were generating more than they were. So I don't even care how it happens. If it's Curtis Samuel on screens that continue, like it's the Debo Samuel plays in San Francisco 2.0, but with Curtis Samuel, fine. If it's James Cook breaking off 20-yard runs, fine. If it's MVS over the top, but this offense cannot.
It can't live with 12
play drives.
Through
a year without generating big plays. Yeah. They just can't do it.
803-0550. Let's remember some Cardinals.
All right, let's go.
This is a harder one than most.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
How many Cardinals do you remember?
They were so bad for so long, right?
The one that I remembered that I wanted to mention, I had to look up his last name because I couldn't remember. Like, linebacker. He played for the Eagles and the Cardinals. And
yeah.
Seth Joyner. I hated Seth Joyner.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever hated a Cardinal. Adrian Wilson?
This is where I tell you.
Do we hate him?
Yeah. Joe,
because he broke Trent Edwards?
Because I flew 3,000 miles to see them play in Arizona, and Trent Edwards got knocked unconscious on the third play.
Yeah, well.
That was not a good time.
It helps that you traveled that far to go see that game.
It was a very good time, actually. Went to Arizona.
He basically broke a Bills quarterback that was doing pretty well.
Yes. Broke him.
Broke him. Yep.
Adrian Wilson. Seth Joyner. Get you some answers here so we remember some Cardinals.
Who's on that Super Bowl team?
Arizona?
That's the best Cardinal team we've ever seen.
Kurt Warner. Larry Fitzgerald.
Kurt Warner, by the way. You want to know his stat line in that Super Bowl? 31 of 43. 377 yards. 3 touchdowns and a pick.
Hmm. Lost.
Could that be the record? For passing yards? I don't know.
No. He lost.
You don't think that could be the record?
I don't think so.
For passing yards in a Super Bowl?
No, I bet Jake Delhomme did more in the Carolina-New England game. That was a shootout.
Who's the running back on that Cardinals Super Bowl team? He's a Hall of Famer.
It's not Emmitt Smith.
It's not Emmitt Smith. Is he a Hall of Famer?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. Maybe he's been up for the Hall of Fame. Edgerrin James.
Oh, okay.
Is Edgerrin James in the Hall of Fame? You remember him as a Cardinal? He is in the Hall of Fame.
I do not. Eric Swan. Here's one I remember.
Eric Swan.
Remembering some Cardinals. David Boston.
Oh, good. Very good.
David Boston, absolutely jacked wide receiver.
How about Carlos Dansby?
Yes.
That's a good linebacker right there. Tall.
Carlos with a K, Dansby. 59? Pat Tillman, Neil Rackers.
Of course. Lorenzo Alexander.
Yes.
Neil Rackers, the kicker?
Yeah. You have a Neil Rackers take?
No. There's a what's the game? Doesn't a Cardinals kicker make a bomb to tie the Bills? Is it a Chan Gailey game?
Oh, yeah, the Brad Smith threw a pass game. The Bills got away with a win, and we were all mad about it. They won in overtime, right? In Arizona?
I think they lost in overtime. Jay Feely is the one who kicked that. He kicked like a 60-yard field goal to tie the game.
Remembering some Cardinals. Okay. Thomas Jones, Rob Moore. Let's go Orange. Good one.
Rob Moore.
Garrison Hurst.
David Matt Prater.
Matt Prater. How about fantasy football superstar for 1 year, one of the greatest fantasy seasons ever. How about David Johnson?
Mm.
What a year. 20 touchdowns and 2,000 yards. All-time great.
Vi Sikahema.
I do not know who that is.
Punt returner.
That sounds like a made-up name.
He was a return man, running back for the Eagles, for the Cardinals.
Can you tell me the two players that have over 1,000 yards receiving for both the Cardinals and the Bills in their careers?
John Brown.
John Brown is correct. The other, 4,500 yards receiving for the Cardinals, 1,008 yards receiving for the Bills.
Not Larry Centers.
Larry Centers.
Let's go.
Larry Centers had 4,500 yards receiving for the Cardinals.
Larry Centers.
What was that like? A fullback that could just do stuff like that. Was he even really a fullback?
Tim Rosenbach. Antonio Cromartie. They're rolling in.
Oh, how about Dominic Rogers Cromartie?
Oh.
That's a Cardinal. Josh Rosen.
They were also the Arizona Cardinals and then the Phoenix Cardinals and then the Arizona Cardinals. It's, at one point,
were they the St. Louis Cardinals, too? They were,
yeah, that's right. At one point, they were definitely Phoenix.
I think they were the Chicago Cardinals, also. They moved around a lot. Who else?
Their stadium is nice. I like it a lot. J.J. Watt.
What's
Cardinal.
Steve Breaston.
Steve Breaston.
Was a good receiver for a minute there.
He went to Michigan, right? I think Steve Breaston was Michigan. Mawelde Moore.
How about this tweet? Cornell Buckhalter. All-time name in the league. Cornell Buckhalter. Neil Lomax.
Anyone say Carson Palmer?
Not yet. Tupa.
The punter quarterback guy?
Yeah.
He was a Cardinal? Do we have any Bills? More Bills Cardinals crossover?
Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin is a Bills crossover. Here's another Bills crossover with the Cardinals. How about Charles Clay?
Oh, yeah.
Played for Arizona.
Remembering some guys.
There's only one quarterback that I see.
That crossed over?
That started for both the Cardinals and the Bills. He did it both in the last decade. Oh, there's a clip of him on the Cardinals getting as mad at a reporter in a press conference as you've ever seen in your life.
Derek Anderson.
Him getting mad. Do you know the moment?
Yes, because he had the audacity to smile on the sideline during a game that they were losing,
and then he got pressed about it.
Yes,
and he flipped out
as he should have.
Derek Anderson. Yep. There's a guy who started a game for the Cardinals, a quarterback, and started for the Bills at another position.
Brad Smith.
Nope.
No. Oh. Terrell Pryor.
Nope.
My guess is always Terrell Pryor when you tell me, like a random Bill.
Yeah.
Started a game at quarterback for the Cardinals and another position for the Bills?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Logan Thomas.
Wow.
He was a quarterback on the Cardinals.
Wow. How about Gary Clark?
Gary Clark. Who starts? Don't they have a backup guy who starts a playoff game? Don't they play the Panthers?
John Skelton or something? Anyway.
Max Hall.
Of course. Everyone remembers Max Hall. Leonard Pope. Ricky Prohl.
Yep. Oh, Darnell Dockett. That dude.
He was great.
He was great.
He was great.
Darnell Dockett was great.
He was a second round. I wanted the Bills to take him because he was unblockable. Darnell Dockett, great player.
Very quickly, do you remember...
Jordan Phillips, former Cardinal.
I'll tell it later. There's a Cardinals-Bills game that made me as mad as I've ever been in a Bills drought game. But we can get to it later.
All right. Chris Brown, when we get back, it is Football Friday. You can remember some guys of this if you want. Give a call on last night's game. Xavier Worthy, Bills-Cardinals, whatever you want. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Football Friday here on WGR. We go to the Western Hotline to chat football, as we will every Friday, with voice of the Bills, play-by-play man Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. First full official season, Chris. Congratulations, and let's go, right? Happy football season.
Yeah, thanks. Looking forward to it. Hopefully there's a lot to get excited about this season.
Yeah, an opponent Sunday, the Cardinals. We just did a little remembering some Cardinals. When you think Arizona Cardinals, who's the first player? Who do you remember as a Cardinal?
Yeah, I would like to submit a crossover player, Kevin Cobb.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Who actually never played for the Bills due to probably eighth concussion, which really put him in a bad way.
Yeah.
Never played again, but... Yeah, I was actually, and you guys were mentioning that overtime game. The Bills did win that game. That was the Alex Carrington mega hand blocked field goal game.
Yes. Yeah. I was confused. I messed up them with the Falcons. There was a Falcons overtime game, maybe with a fumble from Scott Chandler that I was thinking of. Because, right, the Bills won the game where Feely hits the huge kick at the end.
Well, it's Arizona, 1 o'clock Sunday, Chris. And, you know, I think it's a good test. On some levels, Arizona brings in some weapons, so we'll get a look at this Sean McDermott, Bobby Babbage defense and see how they can kind of piece things together in the secondary. We've had our questions about the safety. What do you make of the decision to go with Damar Hamlin on the trust level here to give him the start?
Yeah, I think it's a availability and continuity decision. Availability from the standpoint of Mike Edwards just simply missed too much time through the course of the spring and then in the summer in training camp and then the entire preseason. And then, unfortunately, Cole Bishop joined him. Both those guys are healthy now. So we'll see how it goes through the first month of the season here. And if one of those players, you know, makes a move on Hamlin and unseats him from the starting lineup. But Hamlin took advantage of his opportunity, and he's going to start. And when I say continuity, what I mean by that is for a position that, for the most part, is losing their two starters from last season – the one thing that even Hamlin pointed out this week when he spoke to the media was he and Taylor Rapp ran second team reps for the better part of the last calendar year. They were the twos all year last year and ran a countless number of practice reps together. So I think the coaching staff feels there's some measure of continuity there for those two guys in terms of playing off one another. And I think that's what made it attractive here for week one to start the season.
The other big question mark on defense, Chris, is Dorian Williams playing with Matt Milano out. And this looks like a big test for him, right? Like, the run game was good last year for Arizona, and Trey McBride broke out at tight end. So what are your thoughts on Williams and what to expect, where to maybe even set expectations for him this early on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw progress from Dorian Williams at the end of the season last year. I don't think anybody would debate the fact that the kid flashed. But he is still very much a see-ball, get-ball type player because that was the role they gave him at Tulane. You know, and so coming out of college, that was his strength. The real interesting thing to keep an eye out for on Sunday, guys, is whether or not they let Dorian Williams be a three-down player like a Matt Milano and leave him out there for coverage assignments, or if they employ the dime package they did last year when they lost Milano to the broken leg, where, you know, you got three safeties on the field, and that's where Taylor Rapp came into the game. I would anticipate it's probably Mike Edwards, maybe it's Cole Bishop, but I would lean towards Edwards if they decide to employ that package and take Dorian Williams off the field. I think that'll be very telling as to where the coaching staff feels Williams' game is right now.
Switching other side, Bills offense and what they hope to get done. You know, I mentioned with Joe earlier, I wonder what kind of workload Keon Coleman has in this game. You know, the Bills are going to spread the ball around. We know that. Everybody eats. Last night we see Xavier Worthy in his debut. He scores a couple touchdowns. But what strikes me, Chris, is that they had to play for him early to kind of use his strengths. And I wonder, you know, through the preseason, it felt like they were trying to get Coleman a little bit more involved. And I wonder if in this game there's a package of plays maybe for him, whether that's red zone or whatever it might be, how eager they are to get him involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I think they're just going to try to spread it around. You know, we don't really have a true number one receiver in this core, and I think they're okay with that. If somebody grows into that role, well, great. But if nobody does, I don't think they're panicking. the number one target's probably going to be Kincaid by the time all is said and done. So your number one receiver is essentially your tight end. But getting back to Coleman, yeah, I think there'll be an effort to get him involved in the game because I think they believe he is a playmaker waiting to happen. You can throw the ball 9.5 feet in the air and he'll go get it. I mean, he's an above-the-rim player. And it's very readily apparent what his physical abilities are. And I know I've talked to you guys about this. I think his football IQ is vastly underrated. His football mind is far in advance of what his age is. And I think that will enable him to put himself in position to make plays for this offense.
Also expected to make plays Sunday, James Cook in the running game, maybe Josh Allen in the running game. The Arizona defensive line, a big potential weakness for them this year. Arizona has a defensive coach. They're kind of building that up. Their strength is offense, and their defense last year was a weak point and is, I think, expected to be another one this year.
Yeah, I mean, they made their biggest free agent investments in defensive line. So Justin Jones was one investment that they made. Bilal Nichols was the other. And they paid those guys upwards of $10 million a season each to fortify, you know, their underfront and try to shore things up against the run. But the problem that I see for the Cardinals is on third down. I mean, that was the worst third down defense in football last year. The Bills have been the best third down conversion offense in football for each of the last 2 years. I could see third down being a major problem for the Cardinals and being unable to get off the field. And incidentally, I'll just throw this out there because I like the matchup if it proves to be this. Obviously, they could always switch it up defensively, the Cardinals. But I really like Khalil Shakir on their nickel starter, their new nickel starter, Garrett Williams, Syracuse guy. I like that matchup a lot. So if that is how they line up, I could see Josh looking for Shakir early and often.
Easy, Chris. Shots fired. We're going after the Syracuse guy?
We're going after him.
It's okay.
Early.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, one other name I want to mention, you know, we've talked a lot about Shakir and Kincaid and Coleman, and, you know, like everybody's going to get their share. One thing I was looking at the numbers of last year is Dawson Knox. You know, he had injuries, and they got a different tight end that kind of, you know, took over some of his targets. I wonder how much of an uptick he gets as a member of this offense. Not to say he was a forgotten figure, but he did miss time, and they do have a higher profile tight end in, like, the fantasy world these days. And I wonder if, you know, Dawson Knox kind of gets a bit of a reemergence as a major player in this offense.
Yeah, I think that is going to hinge, obviously, on how much they use 12 personnel in a given week. Yeah, I'm curious about that. I don't know where I come down on that yet. I'm going to kind of withhold judgment on it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are going to be some weeks where they see 12 personnel being advantageous for them in terms of a package and how much they want to use that personnel grouping. But I still think there's enough in the tank with the other weapons, you know, like Curtis Samuel, who's going to be a Swiss Army knife for this offense. I think Mac Hollins is essentially going to fill the Gabe Davis role and may even provide more production, certainly in terms of catch rate, because his catch rate through the course of the summer and the preseason was very high. So I'm anticipating an efficient offense. I just think that Joe Brady is going to probably lean on the run game a little bit more through the first month of the season while the timing and efficiency of this passing game kind of finds its footing.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Game one, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Excited for it. Looking like a beautiful fall day is on the way as we get to know the 2024 Bills. Chris, thank you. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Enjoy the game, guys.
Chris Brown's appearance brought to you by, on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Jeremy and Joe with you here on WGR as we roll through a football Friday. Scott Pianowski, Yahoo Sports, 9 o'clock for a little bit of a fantasy chat. And then at 9:30 is a special guest. Should I keep like saying mystery guest, or should we just tell everybody who it is? It's different from anything we've...
drop a hint every time we tease it. A new hint.
Okay, here's your new hint. If you're going to the game on Sunday, you will definitely see this person.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You'll kind of see. Yeah.
Everyone will see this person.
Yes.
Kind of. There's your next hint. All right. Public service announcement. This is a little one from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, Joe. It's not football season, officially, until a quarterback that is thought of as good makes a mistake. And then someone from the Bills Mafia tweets, if Josh Allen did this, the internet would break. That's when football season's back.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson missed an open receiver. And it was, wow.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen did that, granted, on the next play, he found an open receiver whose feet came down out of, foot, toe came down out of bounds. And on ESPN this morning, they're talking, can Lamar Jackson beat the Chiefs? Or the Chiefs' kryptonite. Lamar had almost 400 yards of total offense,
yeah,
two touchdowns, a third where the toe was out.
Yep.
Imagine Josh Allen plays that exact game. We're saying he did everything he could. How could he be? What could you be upset about? The point is, the PSA is, they are indeed criticizing Lamar Jackson after he played a great game on the road in the opener and lost by a toe. The only guy that doesn't get criticized is Mahomes, and you know what? He's going to earn that.
Does everybody think that their own quarterback is the only person that's criticized? Because I was fighting with Ravens fans in July that were saying that Lamar was the only quarterback in the league that was criticized this way. And I'm like, dude, you should talk to Bills fans.
It's a lot of it. Mahomes throws that pick.
Here,
if Josh Allen had done that, the internet would break.
Like, I found it.
It's okay. Let's take a breath.
July 25th on First Take, Kimberly Martin said, I think people understand after six seasons, this is who Lamar is, and this is who they are. And they were comparing to the 76ers. And a Ravens fan says, Josh Allen's got no MVPs, and they don't talk about him like this.
Right.
Everyone thinks their own guy is the one that's never
criticized.
This is
why the Chiefs dynasty is bad, see? The Chiefs keep winning. We just are going to live in this world where other quarterbacks don't win and don't get a chance to just stop getting that treatment, or the fans not care about it.
And then we all yell at each other like, no, my guy is criticized more. No, my guy is criticized more.
How about Tua? People don't even think he's good.
He isn't.
How about Aaron Rodgers?
He actually stinks.
Tua?
Yeah. Yeah. Lamar's actually good. Allen's actually good.
Scott Pianowski, when we get back, 9 o'clock. Remember some more Cardinals like, you know, Matt Leinart, Edgerrin James, Roy Green.
Roy Green.
I didn't know Roy Green. A lot of Rod Tidwell answers. I'll accept it. Rod Tidwell.
Malcolm Floyd.
Yeah.
Wait. Michael Floyd. Floyd.
I'll take your word for it. 803 J.J. Arrington. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, it is a football Friday. We'll talk a little fantasy on the other side. You know, your week one matchups. Maybe you've got some tough calls to make. It's all coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.